Titus 2:11-15. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to conduct which holds God's standards and preferences in contempt. No to worldly passions. Yes to practicing self-control, upright, honest, and transparent lives in this present age. These, then, are the things you should teach. Encourage, examine, and convict with all authority. Do not let anyone dismiss you as someone to be ignored. Grace teaches, we train. As we train, we go out and practice, 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 putting into action what grace has trained us for. Grace disciplines and inspires our dedication, but never strangles or throttles anyone into submission. Being trained by grace also includes having solid boundaries. Too many want to sing, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, sitting around the campfire, singing kumbaya, doing whatever we want because it's just grace, grace, grace. No, that's a picture of an untethered boat adrift on the water, swept wherever the wind blows. That's not grace. It's permissiveness, avoiding any possible conflict. That's being good with whatever happens as long as it doesn't happen to me. God's school of grace teaches a very different curriculum. Israel had to shift from an agriculture nation to a nomadic nation, which was good at war. They had to shift from using plows to swords, and once they were trained to make swords out of plows, then they had to be trained in how to use the swords, which speaks of a process and not instantaneous knowledge on how to be effective at war. It occurs to me that if we are trained by grace, we will be graceful people. If we are trained by arrogance and greed, chances are very good we too will be greedy and arrogant. And of course, that's not always true, for there are very few things in this life which are always and never. Graceful and kind parents typically generate graceful and kind offspring. Manipulative and subversive parents typically generate manipulative and subversive children. Children easily catch the character content of the parents due to simply being in contact with them. We are contagious. Don't you know that we can give it away? And that would include our condition of abnormal functioning as well as our normal functioning. Our children are our mirror in that they reflect our attitudes and habits even when we don't realize our attitudes and habits. As parents, we are always teaching, even when we aren't purposely, consciously teaching. And our children are always learning, even when they aren't purposely and consciously learning. I'm Social Porter. And this is Outposts, more than a few minutes of cool jazz and contemplative conversation, putting all our faculties into play in hopes to inspire each listener to consider the Lord a little deeper, a little wider, and a bit longer. Are we trained by grace or simply employing what we were born with, trained in light or trained in darkness? Which is it? Lean back. Rest your eyes, breathe easy, man, and I'll be right back. if Grace is not your trainer, then who is? Are you good with only your natural born talents? You know, the characteristics you were born with, which are easily exploited by Satan, whose will is fully set against us? Are you good with that cur dog being your mentor and trainer? I realize that many seem to think they have everything they need without including God. But seeing as how the Bible is the universal one-stop resource for morals, ethics, principles, conduct, and character, I think it would be best to choose the Bible as our standard and see what God has to say. Indeed, this world of fluid and mobile boundaries needs a standard higher than itself. Wouldn't you agree? According to the Bible, the greatest ability of our flesh and uncrucified mind is wrongness of character. Our inclination is iniquity from the start. I believe everyone is born with a certain capacity and gifting. But above that, the unredeemed mind only knows the unredeemed lifestyle with all its inclinations, or what the Bible would call the works of the flesh. What are our natural inclinations, trained by the world under our slave master called sin, which gladly bruises our conscience and gives power to our flesh over our spirit? Paul speaks to that in Romans 1, where he goes through a list of wrongness that is natural to those without Jesus. Our natural talents include every kind of moral distortion, twisted ethics and principles, greed and depravity. We are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. Our natural-born talents also include gossip, slander, or those who cast shadows on others, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. Naturally, we have a talent for inventing ways of doing wrong, seeing no good reason to even obey our parents, and in that we become senseless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless, not thinking it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, refusing to even think in the Lord's direction. Many would probably say, after hearing that list,
"Well, it's not all that bad, you know. I'm not really like that, and I don't know anyone who is. I'm a good person, and I only hang out with good people."
Really? If God and His Word are the standard, and believe me, in the end, He is conclusively and finally the end-all and standard, then if God says there is no good thing in me, then I think it absolutely prudent to take Him at His word. Romans 7:18. "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." Even if we understood the good things to do, without Christ, we are trained and practiced in the ways of the world. We don't have the wherewithal to do godliness. Now that should upset more than a few who still believe they've got what it takes to make it on their own.
Thank you.
So, I'm going to use myself as an example. I'm going to cut loose with a list of my natural, flesh-born skills, that is, without Christ-type skills. These things I know of myself, in and of myself, all on my own, I'm a superior failure, a good and veteran failure. Without Christ, even my victories are hollow achievements. I do fail very well. I'm good at it. I don't have to learn how to successfully fail. I arrived in this world well trained at it, and all I needed to do was practice. After all, practice does make perfect. Without Christ, everyone is a perfect and best-selling failure. I'm good at not telling myself or anyone else the truth. No training necessary. All I need is a medium to practice in. By the grace of God, I see my ugly and understand my long history of it. Hell regularly reminds me of my disqualifications, my rebellious behavior, and my past disingenuousness. I didn't have to take a class to learn how to do stuff badly. Nope, no training necessary. I didn't have to learn to quit. Oh boy, I'm a talented and natural quitter. I'm good at shifting the blame so I don't have to be responsible. I'm good at calling myself horrible names and then believing it's the truth. All by myself, I am the consummate victim and dedicated controller all at the same time. Sadly, those are a few of my natural born talents. But here's the best part of all. Jesus lifts me above my natural talents and breathes life into me to live life abundantly, trained by grace, not according to someone else's idea of what they think I should do. I'm the one standing here. I'm the one who is responsible. And through Christ alone do I have the power and authority to be different.
We're being taught, trained by either heaven or hell.
Who or what are your trainers? And yes, I realize these are polarizing questions, possibly irritating, but we are all constantly at a crossroads of right and wrong, hovering between deciding to go to the left or right. How do you know you're being trained in righteousness? Ephesians 4:22-24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. In the previous scripture, Ephesians 4:23, Paul uses a word which I think needs a little clarity. It was the word attitude. Attitude speaks to the pitch and yaw of our heart, how we lean in our heart towards God. For a better understanding of that scripture, I'm going to insert the definition of attitude, so then it would read like this. To become renovated and renewed in how you lean toward or away from God in your hearts. That means, in Christ, we have an entirely better set of skills. All we have to do is allow the Holy Spirit to train us. Our skill set developed in the school of grace as given by God is not born of our flesh or intellect. Instead, He brings it from a place much deeper, beyond our lukewarm assumptions of conventional wisdom found in the place known only to the Lord, quite beyond our expectation. When we wake up one day to see what the Lord has done in us, it is breathtaking in beauty and magnitude. God purposely gave us an option of either being trained by righteousness or by sin. Romans 6, 13-14. Offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law but under grace. Did you get that? Sin shall not be your master. Through Christ it shall not, shall not, shall not, shall not. Now, did you hear that? That is incredibly wonderful. Paul said, "For sin, your bruised conscience and alienated mind shall not be your master, because you are not under law but under grace." Through the blood of Jesus, we take to ourselves a new trainer who trains us in grace. When we spend our time participating with God, going where He goes and doing what He does, it is easy to see that we are being trained by grace. Now, hear what I'm saying here. Catch the vision. There's two sides to the process. Someone teaches and someone learns. I propose a good question is, what exactly is grace teaching us? What are we learning, because we are constantly learning? So we must take the question seriously. What are we learning? I am confident it would be simple to show that grace teaches us to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. I want to add, though, honestly, no one has ever suggested to me that I be more temperate. So I looked it up, and it means to be sound in mind, to be sober in opinion or passion.
To be sober in opinion or passion.
Temperate sounds pretty antiquated to me, and I can't say I thought to myself, I must be more temperate. Or, I must pray to be more sober in opinion. The use of the word temperate suggests we exercise our personal power and authority over all things which influence us. Learn to ask yourself, how does what you're putting in your eyes and ears line up with the Word of God? Do your actions rightly represent God's preferences and standards? For me, I don't want to be like a catfish, a bottom feeder which mucks along the bottom, consuming anything which could be ingestible. I also think it important to say why I spend time looking up meanings of some words. Well, the truth is, some biblical words I've never been able to relate to, and I figure if I can't relate to it, then there's a lot of other people who can't relate to it either. I also want to add that many, many times English doesn't do Greek, Hebrew, or their translation any favors. So it is to our benefit to dig into discovering God's intent and purpose It's part of being trained in grace. The Handbook of Bible Application says we need to depend on God to train our conscience. Well, how can you hold on to a good conscience? Treasure your faith in Christ more than anything else and do what you know is right. Each time you deliberately ignore your conscience, you are hardening your heart. If we deliberately ignore our conscience, over time, our capacity to tell right from wrong will diminish. The training of grace teaches us the value of truth, not just facts, but the truth. We learn from grace kindness and a preference for doing the right thing, not just leveraging the facts to facilitate the advancement of our agenda. Did you catch that? Not just leveraging the facts to facilitate the advancement of our agenda. Sounds a lot like criminal thinking in the modern news or media agencies, doesn't it? Grace teaches us diligence and perseverance, even when we're in the long night of a storm. Grace emphasizes over and over the importance of a sound conscience. Here's some sticky words, so listen. Without a conscience, conviction has no foothold, making condemnation the only other option. Convicted or condemned, you choose. Grace, grace. Let us hold character and conscience in Christ above the values of the world. As you walk with God, He will speak to you, letting you know the difference between right and wrong. Friends, it's always the right time to do the right thing. Take care to read or hear all the words, not just the title, the first and last sentence to get the idea. That is a lifelong lesson in the school of grace. Be sure to act on those inner tugs to do what is right. The training of grace is because of the everlasting love of God. The school of grace and good boundaries is God's idea. It's a kindness, and kindness leads us to repentance. Participate with Jesus and let grace train you. The training of grace is for an eternity with God. Think about it. Ephesians 4:12-13. To train Christians in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. 2 Timothy 3:16. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, and training us to live God's way. Now, I like that. Training us to live God's way, no longer slaves in this world of sin. That is wonderfully attractive. This has been Outposts, a semi-live broadcast from the late-night cascading banks of the Ocklawaha River, where the trees gently lean over the river's edge and every evening is pleasant. I'm Social Porter, and this program has been brought to you by Living in His Name Ministries, Area 22 Guitars, Clyde Davis at the Skyland Hotel, Kevin Perry and Tommy of the Mebane Freedom League, Miss Lillian Cole, Florence Drake, Harley Stepp, world famous Paul Powers of White Knuckle Studios, and of course, the consistent and enduring Trinity Bakers, where there's always something good in the oven. Music was by the Pete Menger Quartet, Jazz for a Rainy Day, Keith Jarrett, and the Yellow Jackets. All music use is licensed by BMI. If you're so inclined, go by livinginhisname.org. There's a lot to listen and see there. Check it out. Knuckle down and determine to participate with Jesus. Let yourselves be trained by grace. You'll never regret living life God's way. Until next time, tell the truth, love Jesus, yourself, and your neighbor. Don't be a nitpicker. It's a worthless endeavor. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed. Amen. ¶¶